Raise your hand if you are absolutely struggling in a massive way right now. Like, you are on the struggle bus and you feel like every single day that you walk into a school, it is a complete dumpster fire for you. If you raise your hands, I need you to hear me very clearly. You are not alone. On the flip side of that, raise your hand if you feel like, oh my gosh, things are going so well in my classroom right now. Things are going so well in my school. This is what I am made to do. I feel like I am hitting my stride. If you said yes to that, if you raised your hand to that, guess what? You are also absolutely not alone. Finally, let me ask you this one. Raise your hand if you feel like you are kind of just stuck. You don't have big struggles, but you also don't have big celebrations. You find yourself somewhere in the middle, and it's almost as if you are feeling numb. It's like you're feeling neutral, and everything is just literally fine. Everything is okay, but you wouldn't say that you are in a space where you are thriving. Guess what? You are not alone. The teacher truth is this. Oftentimes when we feel like we aren't at our best, it feels like we are doing this by ourselves. Like nobody else gets it. But I think the reality is sometimes when we share our story, we share our struggles, we share our successes, and we're just vulnerable with each other, just that alone can help us crush it in the classroom. This episode is not about classroom management. This episode is not going to give you some sort of engagement strategy. This isn't about some super stupid, dumb idea that I have done with my students. This episode is all about proving a really important point that sometimes the most important things in our classroom aren't actually things, but it's about getting the momentum that we need to have the right mindset. And that can often happen when we're simply sharing. And that's what I want to do here right now. I want to share some of the things that I am currently struggling with. I want to share some of the things that I'm currently succeeding with. I want to be a space where it is safe to just share some time. And I'm wondering if you hear it from another person, it'll finally sink in that you're doing an incredible job. And we're doing it together because you're not alone. And I want to prove it to you right here, right now. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. Anybody who has been in education for even a millisecond knows that there are some very scary statistics out there on how fast people are leaving education, how dissatisfied people are with being in the classroom. I could give you all sorts of facts, all sorts of statistics, all sorts of data. But the reality is this: facts tell, stories sell. Here's what I mean. Like, if I give you facts, if I give you statistics, they are going to tell you something. Something that you probably already know, but is that going to compel you to do something with it? Facts tell, stories sell. Stories that are personalized, that are relatable, that you feel like, oh my gosh, yes, girl, I hear you. That's going to sell the idea. And when we sell an idea to somebody, whether it's an idea of, hey, you should try this strategy, or hey, you should try this opportunity, that actually compels us to make an action. And that's what I want to do. I don't want to tell you something. I want to compel you to make a decision to crush it in your classroom for the remainder of this school year. I want you to crush it even if you're on the struggle bus. I want you to crush it even if you're succeeding. I don't want the weight of all of the hard and all of the frustration to crush you, because I want you to end this year on a good note. And I think regardless of your current circumstances, you absolutely can, because I think little moments have the power to change everything. So let me tell you a story. And I need you to know in advance that this story is difficult to tell because it's highly emotional. This school year has been one of the hardest that I have ever experienced in my 15 years of teaching. And I didn't see it coming. I think already some of you can probably relate to that. And so what I want to do is give you the details of my current situation, of my current story. Last school year, I was definitely caught off guard when I was asked to teach math. And I'm using the term asked pretty loosely. It was a choice, because I could have said no, and then I might have not had a job. So I was asked to teach math because there was an emergency vacancy in the school district and they needed somebody to teach math. And evidently I was the most qualified. I certainly wasn't highly qualified. I don't have a math degree. I had never taught math ever before in my entire life, but I was the best fit in the small number of teachers that we have in the district. And that was really, really difficult. That was hard. Because it's hard to be in a curriculum area that you don't feel confident in. I also will say, if we've got awesome strategies and if we've got awesome structure and we want to learn and grow, I think it is possible. And so last year, I proved that it was possible to myself and to my students and to my school that, like, we can push ourselves outside of our comfort zone. We can struggle, but we can succeed when we are kind of pushed into a situation that we don't want to be a part of. And so at the end of last school year, my principal came to me and said, guess what? Great news. We are able to get you back into the curriculum area that you want. Next school year, you're going to have this really nice blend of teaching some middle school science and some middle school SEL. And that was a huge sigh of relief. I felt so good about that. So I came into this school year thinking, like, yes, I've got a great schedule. I've got a great blend of different classes. I've got awesome middle school kids, because I've done elementary. I've done middle school. I've done high school. Middle school is definitely my favorite. I've taught math now, not my favorite. I've taught science for so many years. I've taught SEL for so many years. Like, I feel like I'm going to be able to serve kids in a really cool way. So I came into this school year thinking, like, this is what's up. COVID is over. There's less restrictions. I've been teaching for 15 years. I've been at the school district that I'm at right now for 5 years. So a lot of the newness and the hard of being new to a school district has worn off. Like, I'm about to hit my prime. This is prime time, baby. And in the first 2 weeks, it proved to be so true. I thought my students had awesome personalities. I felt like things were clicking. I felt like I had momentum. 2 months into the school year, I was like, this is a dream come true. I literally have nothing to complain about. Quite frankly, if I'm being honest, I felt a little guilty because I felt like everything was going right. And because I'm so interconnected with so many of you on social media and I know how bad things can be in schools, and because I also consult in schools and all across the country and I'm faced with their problems and I love tackling their problems, sometimes I would feel guilty that things were going so well. Not just in the first 2 days, not just in the first 2 weeks, but in the first 2 months of this school year. In fact, I even got a note from my principal. It was one of the most amazing things ever. One of my favorite handwritten notes that I have ever gotten from a leader. And the note was basically saying like, Monica, I can see, I can sense just how much you're loving this school year. It's evident in your energy. It's evident in your personality. Last year, you did such a great job, but there is just something about how you were approaching this year that is noteworthy. And I wanted to express my extreme gratitude for what you are doing to lead and to love on students. And I was like, yes, I'm so glad that people are seeing and experiencing that. Not as a flex, but as like, man, this is me finding my stride again. And I literally feel that immediately following that note, I got hit by a truck. And it wasn't like a Toyota truck. It was like a Tonka truck, my friends. I don't think that it was my principal's fault, for the record. I need to be very clear. What I'm about to tell you is not my principal's fault. What I'm about to tell you is not my superintendent's fault. What's about to happen is not just my story. I think it's a lot of your stories. But after about the 2-month mark, I feel like shit hit the fan in a way that I had never experienced ever in my 15 years of teaching. And it wasn't that all of a sudden my students' behaviors changed, because my students were awesome. Like, I was having very minimal classroom management issues. It wasn't that all of a sudden my curriculum got really hard. Like, no. Like, my science classes and my SEL classes were thriving. It wasn't that all of a sudden the state like had this new mandate and this new thing and they're like, you have to start doing this, so we're going to put one more thing on your plate. All of a sudden what happened was there was a culture and climate shift amongst adults. What I mean by that is all of a sudden there was this like very significant shift in the way that parents were communicating about and for and with teachers. There was a definite climate and culture shift in the way that teachers were communicating with, about, or for other teachers. It got very, very toxic very, very fast. And obviously, I'm not going to go into specific details, but it felt wildly personal. I think in schools, staff is always going to disagree. That's normal. We're humans. We're not going to have the same opinions, same values, same teaching style. Like, I see that as a really positive thing. But I think that positivity definitely flips to problematic when the differences and the disagreements and the philosophies actually start questioning your character. When all of a sudden your reputation is being tarnished in front of other kids behind your back. I think one of the most dangerous things that can happen in schools right now is when staff don't trust each other. When people can go to each other and say like, hey, just kind of heard this happened, and they're like, that did not happen. And it's like, oh, okay. Okay. When there is distrust and there is not honesty, and we just kind of got to own our own stuff, I think that can be really hard. And so this, I know, is not singular to me. This is something that I know a lot of you feel like there are some major fractured relationships in your schools because of like teachers not liking each other or teachers not respecting each other or you know, it being like teachers versus leaders, or leaders against the school board, or the school board is not fighting for teachers. Like, there is this like triangular kind of situation where distrust and mistrust and fractured relationships can really cause an entire school system to crumble. And I know that some of you know what I'm talking about. And so rather than just sharing the story that is quite frankly sharing a struggle, what I also want to do is share a solution. Because I do think that is the next natural step in the crushing it for kids process. So if you're finding yourself in a really difficult time, and it's not necessarily about your students, and it's not necessarily about curriculum, and it's not necessarily about like just feeling almost like a little burnout, but it's feeling personal because it's about people. And it's people who are like other professionals. They are people who are trying to also thrive in their own teacher life or in their own school life. I think what we have to do is ask ourselves a really important question. Is what is happening in your teacher life right now, is it toxic or is it teachable? Here's what I mean by that. Are you having anxiety about walking into a building because you're like, I literally can't see that person because I'm going to freak out. I literally can't talk to that person because I don't have trust in them. I can't be on a committee with that individual because I am scared to death of what they're going to say or what they're going to implement. It's toxic. If you are developing a literal ulcer, or maybe it's a figurative ulcer. Toxic is when you are crying on your commute home constantly because of what somebody did, said, or created for you. That's toxic. It's impossible to crush it for kids when we are in that environment. So in that situation, you have to ask ourselves, what's our next step? Because it probably shouldn't be to stay here. What's the opposite of toxic? Teachable. Here's what I mean by teachable. Is are you in a situation where, yes, I disagree with you a great deal, but I'm going to be able to be professional with you? Because even though we disagree, I think there is still something that I can learn from you and you can learn from me. Teachable is like, listen, I know that we've got different styles. I know that we've got different vibes, but I think you're really good for kids. And I think I'm really good for kids. And if you're good for kids and I'm good for kids, then we're good for kids. Teachable is saying like, listen, this climate and culture can shift if we're all coming to the table with an open mind. I don't know what that looks like for you. I know what that looks like for me. But I think that you have to ask yourself that really important question. Because on the other side of this year being really, really hard, and I'm obviously sharing my struggle, on the opposite side of that is there's been a lot of successes this school year. I said at the very beginning of this episode that this has been one of my hardest years in teaching ever. This has also been one of my most favorite years in teaching ever. And I actually believe that those two things can coexist. Because I think sometimes in order to crush it for kids, we have to compartmentalize things. I can be sad and frustrated with my colleagues, and I can be celebratory and having fun with my kids. I can be stressed out and frustrated with my teacher friends, and I can be clapping and having so much camaraderie with my kids. Because if we can compartmentalize that, like, not everything is bad. Not everything about this job is terrible. Not everything about this situation is horrific. Then I think that can create some teacher balance. So let me share some successes with you. They're very small, but I think they're very significant. Just the other day, I was having some students do some presentations, okay? I teach students SEL. So I have a dedicated social and emotional learning class. I have a dedicated advisory for middle school students every single day. It is the equivalent of a class of like math or ELA. They come and get college, career, and life readiness skills from me. So they were giving this presentation. It was not in my SEL class that they were giving the presentation, but they learned the skills on how to present this effectively and comfortably, so much so that I got 100% of students to come up and give a 10-minute presentation, pretty much on the fly. And so this student is standing in front of their entire class of peers, presenting a project that they completed. And at the end, a student raised their hand and asked a very specific question about one of the elements of the periodic table. And the student who was presenting looked at their peer and said, "That is an excellent question that I don't know the answer to. But why don't we all open up our Chromebooks and we can do a little research so we can find out, because that is how learning works." You guys, when that statement happened, my teacher heart absolutely exploded. I was like, yes. It was almost as if they read that from a script. They didn't have a script in front of them. They didn't even have notes in front of them. And I looked at that student and I'm like, I am wildly impressed by that response. How did you come up with that response? And the student said two things. "Miss Genta, one, because I know that saying I don't know is not always the best answer that you can give. So I didn't want to say I don't know. You've taught us that. Two, I was trying to kind of think, like, what would you say in that moment? And so as a science teacher, you're always really, really focused on us also getting life skills. And in life, if you don't know the answer, like, you know, we've got a powerful tool in front of us. Let's Google it. Let's dive in. Let's research." And I'm like, hell to the yes. That moment absolutely surpasses how frustrated I was with colleagues and connections with fellow teachers. Because sometimes at the end of the day, our door is closed. We were hired to do a job. We weren't hired to become best friends with our colleagues. That would be awesome if you have a teacher BFF in your building. I think we all deserve that. But we weren't hired to do that. We were hired to teach and reach kids. And clearly in this moment, I was teaching and reaching kids. Let me give you another example of a success that has recently happened. There is a student that I've had now for 3 years. When you teach in a small school district, it can mean that you have the same exact set of kids multiple times in a row. And so I have now known this student for 3 years. And when I knew this student as a sixth grader, they didn't have tons of confidence. They definitely wanted to bust out of their shell, but I think there was this anxiety and there was this nervousness. And I saw definitely some growth with this student as a seventh grader, but now I have this student as an eighth grader. And recently, we were in a situation where we were collecting some data on how to have effective phone conversations. And a student was like, "Oh yeah, sure, I'll go first." And I was like, "You're ready to make a phone call in front of all of your peers to gather some information and talking with somebody on a phone?" And they're like, "Yeah, I absolutely feel comfortable with that. This is something that I actually do a lot." And I'm like, you pick up the phone as a 13-year-old boy and call. I'm not talking about your friends. I'm not talking about your grandma. Like, you call companies or you call stores. Like, you make your own phone calls. He's like, "Yeah, absolutely. That's totally fine. Sometimes you just, you know, you gotta take care of business, right? You gotta do what you gotta do." And I'm like, "Oh, absolutely. Love this." And the student started talking about how, like, "Yeah, one time my Nike shoes kind of had a hole in them. And so I called up Nike and I'm like, hey, I think you should maybe like send me a new pair of shoes. These aren't working right. And then one time my AirPods, they like weren't holding a charge. So I called Apple support and they walked me through it. And now my AirPods are totally fine. I thought I was gonna have to get new ones and they're totally fine. There was one time when I wanted Taco Bell and I knew that they had a new menu. And I wanted to make sure that I had enough money before my parents drove me to Taco Bell to get the food. So I called them up and I was like, hey, I wanted to make sure that your location's prices matched the prices that I'm seeing online. How much are your new deluxe value nachos? And I had to literally pick my jaw up off the floor. Because the student that I was seeing, experiencing, and loving, and laughing, and growing with had just made so much progress. And I had the privilege of being that kid's science teacher, math teacher, SEL teacher, advisory teacher, morning meeting teacher now for 3 years. And that is a really special thing that I got to celebrate. So here's the teacher truth. If things are happening in your classroom and you're like, this is a disaster, you're not alone. If things are happening in your classroom and you're like, this is absolutely amazing, you are responsible for that. So you should feel good. Because like, you're reaping the benefits of all of your hard work. If you are currently in a situation where there's distrust or mistrust with fellow teachers or with your faculty or your building leaders, you're not alone. Is it toxic though, or is it teachable? We all get to make our own decisions about how we share our stories, share our struggles, and share our successes. You get to do whatever is best for you, whatever is best for your mindset and for your family and for your heart and for your head. But what I do know is we're not alone. And when we share those moments with fellow classroom teachers, that is how we can crush it for kids the best. And I want to continue to laugh and learn and grow with you on a personal, individualized level during the month of April. Because something really special happens during the month of April. In April, every single year, I lead a fun, flexible, virtual course called the Crushing It for Kids course. And it is a 21-day, super engaging virtual course that I get to lead with awesome teachers like you from all over the country who are saying, I want to end fourth quarter on a really good note. Monica, I'm struggling. Or Monica, I'm thriving. Monica, I'm surviving. Monica, I'm in neutral. All are welcome, because you will find that you're not alone. But I also think that we're not alone in the fact that fourth quarter can be our best quarter yet. We can literally hold hands together during the month of April, and we can cross this finish line with smiles on our faces and with warm hearts. So I want to officially invite you to be a part of that. If you have never taken a virtual course before, fear not, because it's fun and it's flexible. And in fact, you can earn up to 15 hours worth of PD credits. Registration for the Crushing It for Kids course is open right now. You can actually go to monicagenta.com/courses to learn more. You can get all of the logistics, all of the details to see if this is a good fit for you. But if you enjoyed this episode and if you want to crush it for kids, let me just be very honest. I 100% guarantee it's a good fit for you. Go to monicagenta.com/courses to check it out and to get signed up so we can laugh and learn and crush it for kids together during the month of April. I'm also going to put a direct link for the Crushing It for Kids virtual course in the show notes so you can click, you can get signed up, and so you can feel so good about the fact that you're making a proactive, positive choice about how to end the 2023-2024 school year on an awesome note. I hope this episode is exactly what you needed at this current time and space that you are at on your journey in education. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, but most importantly, I want to thank you for living this teacher life.